If you would take God's Word and open it up to Romans chapter 12, we're going to be looking at verses 1 and 2 and then also some verses on from that. As you can tell, I'm kind of hoarse. I didn't have a voice Wednesday at all, and Sharon, my wife, was so happy. But then life happens and I get it back. But I am glad to be here tonight. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Let's read that together. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and to prove what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I want us to go back up and look at the end of verse 1. And it says, this is your spiritual act of worship. Now, I'm reading from the NIV version, one of the very earliest NIV versions. Some of the King James version says reasonable service right there. The 1901 American Standard says spiritual service. The literal translation for this in the Greek means logical ministry. And when you think about that, it is logical. It is logical that God wants to put you into a ministry. And that is the title of tonight's lesson, Discovering Your Ministry. There's a lot of Christians that I see that they seem to just be floundering around, and they really don't know what their ministry is, and they can't seem to find any true fulfillment. They flounder around and they wonder what God wants them to do with their life. But folks, as we read the Bible and as we study the Bible, we know one thing, that God wants us to serve. He wants us to serve. And if you look at the example that Jesus left for us to follow, and if we are going to be disciples of Jesus, Jesus said He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And that is the example that He left us to follow. God does not want us to sit here and just sit and soak and sour, but He wants us to have a part. He wants us to have a part of His body, of His church. And I'm hoping maybe tonight that we learn what God's ministry is for you and how He has fit you into His wonderful plan. This is going to be a two-part lesson. We're going to cover a couple of principles tonight, and then next Sunday night, just a couple more. I don't know if you've looked around our society lately, but I want to use the word that Jesus used in John 4 when He was talking to the Samaritan woman. They had met there at the well, and the disciples had went on into Sychar, a little town, to get food. And they came back and they offered Jesus some food, and He said, no, I have food to eat that you don't know anything about. So they were wondering to themselves, did someone bring Jesus some food? But He was kind of talking over their head, and He was talking about souls to save, and the Word of God was His food. But in that, when He was talking, He made that wonderful comment. He said, I want you to look out there, and I want us to look at our society. And the words I want to use are Jesus' words. The world is ripe. Our society is ripe for a spiritual awakening. I don't know if you've noticed the morals that have adopted in our society. They really aren't any. A lot more and more people are becoming atheists. When something happens in their life, everything is good until something happens in their life that they can't explain. And they wonder, why did God let this happen? Why would a loving God caused this to happen. And when they don't have an explanation for that, they go to this side and they say, well, there is no God then. More and more becoming atheists. The moral evaluation of our society is toppled. You've got movie stars that have beautiful faces, but their morals are like alley cats. Our society is sunk lower today than I've ever seen it. And I've learned to never say never. I thought I'd never see it this low. And I hope that I don't see it go any lower. But the way it's going, there's no guarantee of that. But what I'm saying, folks, if you don't have a ministry, I want you to pay attention tonight. I want you to pay attention and have God to adopt you into this ministry work. You don't have to stand here in the pulpit. There's other jobs and other things that you can do, but again, this world is right. There's people that are wondering what their life is for. They really don't know what they're living for. And the world is right for us right now to have a spiritual awakening. There's four principles that I want us to look at in this wonderful chapter of Romans 12, and I hope that it will help you. I hope that it will help you discover the ministry of which God has called each and every one of us to do. It doesn't matter where or what that ministry is. If it's a ministry of God and God wants you to be involved in it, then it is, these four principles are for you. Number one, first principle, the principle of lordship. The principle of lordship of Jesus Christ over the life of every believer is where everything begins. That's the foundation right there. I've said this many times standing here. I said it in our Sunday school class this morning. If Jesus is not the Lord of your life, He's not your Savior. Now let that sink in. That's just the reality of this. You can't tell Jesus, hey, thank you for saving me, but don't you expect me to conform to what your word says. But I do, thanks Jesus for saving me. But I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to live the life that I want to live. Folks, it doesn't work that way. The Lordship of Christ is where everything begins. Look again in verse 2 of Romans chapter 12. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Have you ever wondered what God's will for your life is? Well, right there it is. Right there it is. He just told us. And I want us to break these two verses down into what I call subcategories. And first, I want us to look at the request. Look at the request at the beginning of verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers. Therefore, I urge you, brothers. This is like Jesus on his knees, and he is praying through the Apostle Paul for us. And he is saying, I urge you, brothers. What do? We urge God to do stuff for us, don't we? This is God urging us to do something for him. We talked about this last week about getting our prayers answered. Yes. We make requests up to God. God is making a request to you and to me. He's saying, I urge you, brothers. Have you ever answered God's request? Yes. He's saying, I urge you. I urge you. And he goes on to say, to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Do sometimes we wonder why our prayers get answered? No. If we don't hear God's word, what makes you think that he is going to hear our word? We make requests to him, but he also makes requests to us. So the first thing I want you to notice is the request. The second thing I want you to see, I want you to notice the reason. And it goes on. He said, Paul says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. There's your reason. There's your reason to present yourself as a living sacrifice. Why? Because of God's mercy, of what he has done for us. Folks, we were all rebels. We were all rebels at one time, and we were on our way to hell. But what happened? God's mercy stepped in. What did he do? He sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for you and for me. He died to save us. He rose to save us. He lives to save us. And one day he's coming back for us. Why do we need to present ourselves as a living sacrifice? Because of God's mercy. The request, I urge you. The reason, the mercies of God. The third thing I want you to see is the requirement. The requirement is present yourself as a living sacrifice. The scripture that Keith read earlier, 1 Corinthians in verse 20, says we're not our own. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. Present yourself as a living sacrifice is the requirement. That means God's not going to do it for you. That means there are no draftees in God's army. They're all volunteers. If you want to be in God's army, he's not going to draft you. He's not going to force you. It's going to be on a strictly volunteer basis. Offering yourself as a living sacrifice is a very personal sacrifice. I can't do it for you, and you cannot do it for me. How do you do it? Every morning you take a knee, if you can, and you say, God, listen, here I am. I am presenting myself to you as a living sacrifice for you to do with me whatever you want to do with me. You put me where you want me to be. I'm yours. A lot of people do not know their ministry. And the reason they don't know their ministry is because they're not willing to sacrifice themselves. You've got to totally sacrifice yourself to God. Not a partial sacrifice. I don't think God will accept a half of a sacrifice. But we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. What does the sacrifice require? It requires complete devotion and it requires complete discipline. What does that do? That allows God to consume you. That allows God to consume you. One question I want us all to ask ourselves. Does God have all there is of me? I can't answer that for you. I can answer it for me. Does God have all there is of you? Has God consumed you? And what I mean by that, I mean where there's none of you and there's all of God. Has he consumed you? Well, when this happens, the request, the reason, the requirement, I want you to see the result. This is what happens when you present yourself as a living sacrifice to God. The result is two parts. It's a transformation and it is a revelation. Again, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Not conformed, not deformed, but transformed and informed is what is going to take place. Folks, when we lay ourselves on the altar before God, we're transformed. We give up all of us. We give up that selfish will inside of us. And what happens? We are transformed. The perfect illustration is the way that a caterpillar is transformed into a beautiful butterfly. What happens? That inner character comes out. That inner nature comes out. What is the inner nature of a Christian? Jesus. Jesus. But what does Satan want to do? Satan wants to keep Jesus stuff in here. Satan doesn't want Jesus to come out to the surface. Satan doesn't want that inner nature of a Christian to come out. Satan wants to conform you so you won't be transformed. Satan does not want Jesus coming to the surface. But when you present yourself as a living sacrifice, you're transformed, the inner nature of Jesus comes to the surface, then what happens? People see. People see Jesus. They see Jesus through you. They see Jesus through me. I want people to see Jesus through me. Do you not want Jesus to see people, or people to see Jesus through you? A little boy asked his dad, and he said, "Dad, is Jesus bigger than me?" And his dad said, "Well, yeah, he's bigger than you, son." "Well, Dad, does Jesus live in me?" "Yeah, son, Jesus lives in me." And the little boy thought, and he said, "Well, you know, that means Jesus going to stick out, don't it?" "Yes, he's going to stick out, son. And he will stick out, but you have to let him stick out. Satan does not want you to let him stick out. Satan wants you to keep Jesus compressed down in here so nobody sees him living on the inside of you. But after the transformation comes that revelation. Look at verse 3 in Romans 12. "For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think," underscore think if you don't mind writing in your Bible, "do not think of yourself more highly than you think," underscore think again, "but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." Three times, think. Paul challenges us to think. Why does God want to renew our mind? So we will think. He wants us to think. Now, after a person's been transformed and you have the mind of Christ, guess what? The will of God is between this ear and this ear. It's right in the middle. If you want to know the will of God, it'll be right here. After the transformation, after presenting yourself as a living sacrifice to God, after surrendering your self-will and giving all of yourself to God. But the best part, folks, is when you have the mind of Christ, when you have the mind of Christ, now you don't make bad decisions. You make good and godly decisions. Because you have the mind of Christ, now you think not with human rationality. You don't think with human intellect. You don't think with human intuition. How do you think? You think with divine guidance. You have the mind of Christ. But it's a process. You have to surrender that self-will. You have to present yourself as a living sacrifice. You let God consume you. Then the transformation takes place. And then the revelation takes place. First principle, lordship. Lordship. If he is your Savior, he's your Lord. If he is not your Lord, he is not your Savior. Second principle, membership. Look in verses 4 and 5 as we read. "Just as each of us had one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same functions, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Just verse 4 again, just as each of us has one body with many members. I have one body, you have one body. You have arms, you have many members. You have arms, you have legs, you have eyes, you have ears, etc., etc. Paul goes on, and these members do not all have the same function. My eyes don't do what my hands do. My feet doesn't do what my ears do. They all have different functions. Folks, the church is not an organization with Jesus as the president. The church is an organism with Jesus being the head. We are one body. We are the church of Christ, the body of Christ. A lot of people, a lot of Christians do not know their ministry because they try to find their part in the ministry outside the body of Christ. And folks, that will never work. That will never work. That is arrogance. That is pride. Trying to find your ministry outside the body of Christ is nothing but pride. Under Jesus' lordship and our membership, we have to understand that we need one another. I need you. You need me. And for someone to say they don't need another Christian, there's you another example of pride. To say that you don't need someone. God made us all different. He made us all different so that he could make us all one. He made us where I'm not supposed to be able to get along without you. And you shouldn't be able to get along without me. We talked last week when we were talking about prayer. What if we never had to ask God for anything? What kind of relationship would that be? He wants us to be dependent upon him. I want you to be dependent upon me. I want to be dependent upon you. We're a body. We are the body of the church. We are the church, and we are the body. You want to find your ministry? Do you want to find a ministry? In the announcements tonight, Ken's looking for two teachers. And we have to do this just about every quarter. Folks, there's something to do in this body of Christ for everyone. It doesn't mean you preach. It doesn't mean you have to lead a prayer. There's something to do for each person. We're one body. If you want to find your ministry, you'll never find it outside the body of Christ. It takes presenting yourself as a living sacrifice. It takes God consuming you. It takes you giving up your self-will. And it takes depending upon you and you depending upon me. I want to close tonight. I want to share something with you as we close. I had someone, it's been probably a couple of years ago, as I was preparing this lesson, it dawned on me of what this person said. And this person told me, says, I don't believe in an organized church. I don't believe in an organized church. And I said, what do you believe in, a disorganized church? Do we not have organs? I have organs in my body and you do too. Is this body not organized? We're not an organization, but we are organized. And a lot of people, I say that. I wanted to tell you that because so many people come up with excuses. They come up with excuses that I can't do that. That's just not part of me. I'm not good at that. And they also use these excuses not to come to worship. Well, I wait till I get my life in order. Folks, you're never going to get your life in order without the power of Christ being living on the inside of you. You can try all you want. It's never going to happen. But I want you to think about this, and we're going to do two more principles next Sunday night. Think about your ministry. Think about what needs to go on in the body of Christ, in this church at Fairfield. Find something. Ask someone how you can take part in the ministry. It'll be pleasing and acceptable to God. That's His will for your life. Let Him consume you. Let Him renew your mind. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. If you've never become a Christian, I'm asking you to do that tonight. To come down this aisle, present yourself as a living sacrifice to God. That is His will. He's going to renew your mind. He's going to transform you. He's going to give you the mind of Christ where you can make good and godly decisions. You confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is your Lord, He is your Savior. You'll be baptized. You'll wash away your sins in this baptistry behind me, and then you begin to serve. That's His will for your life. Maybe you've done that and you've wandered away. Maybe tonight is time to rededicate, to redo those vows that you told Jesus one time that you would do. Whatever your need is, I ask you to come right now as together we stand and as we sing.